the season even started at Texas Tech. They're formerly assistant GM, now GM at the Indianapolis Colts. Chris Ballard saw Patrick Mahomes play multiple times during the year, and he's a guy they immediately interviewed during the NFL Combine and went to his pro day and met with him privately, and he was always their target. I think for the Chiefs, it was a matter of, okay, he's the guy we want. How high was the move up to get him, and what was to give up to do so? And they didn't really want to give a 2018 first-round pick, but at the end of the day, they decided, hey, he's our quarterback, and they believe by 2018, when Alex Smith is likely off the book for Kansas City, that Mahomes will be better than any quarterback making in the 2018 draft, and they felt he was the guy they had to go get. So I think he's a fantastic quarterback. He's the best quarterback in this draft class. I think by 2018, when he's ready to go after a full year of seasoning behind Alex Smith, he'll be a playoff-worthy quarterback for the Chiefs.
A lot of questions were coming out about what the Cleveland Browns were going to do in the first round. They select Myles Garrett, no surprise, at number one. They trade back up, or excuse me, they trade down to number 25. They take Jabril Peppers. Then they trade back up in the first round with the Green Bay Packers to number 29. They take David Njoku, the tight end out of Miami. How do you assess how the Cleveland Browns did on night one?
Yeah, I think passing on a quarterback gave them some luxuries because they passed on a quarterback at one and got the best player in the draft, Myles Garrett. They traded back from 12, the Houston Texans moving up for their quarterback and got on a first-round pick out of it this year and next year. So I think the Browns are certainly showing that they don't need to make a quarterback early in the draft, kind of what their building process is, and that shouldn't be a surprise. I think Stassi Brown there, basically their GM, had said before that they weren't going to reach on a quarterback, and they didn't feel any of these guys were worth the first or the 12th overall pick. But getting the best player in the draft, getting Jabril Peppers, who's an offensive and defensive weapon, how they plan to use him, and he's a bit of a risk. We'll see if that pays off. And then David Njoku was, for some teams, the best tight end in this draft class. They got him to the 30th or 29th overall pick. Tremendous value. So now Hugh Jackson has his version of Tyler Eifert in Cleveland. They have the best defensive players at the tone for their defense, and Jabril Peppers, who's certainly a versatile weapon they can utilize.
Eric Galco, the lead draft analyst for the Sporting News, joining us here on a Friday edition of the show. Who got the better running back, in your opinion, Jacksonville with Leonard Fournette or Carolina with Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, I think Jacksonville for sure. Jacksonville got the best running back in this draft class and one of the top three highest-grade running backs we've ever graded in the last 10 years, and Leonard Fournette, alongside Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson, and above Ezekiel Elliott. He's that gifted as an athlete. I think he's Bo Jackson in terms of rare athletic ability combined with DeMarco Murray in terms of his playing style and what he needs. That being said, I would not be surprised at all if Christian McCaffrey has an easier transition to the NFL game. And that's why so many teams coveted McCaffrey, because of his ability on third down as a pass catcher, his ability as a pass blocker in terms of technique and fundamentals, and really his overall football IQ, and being able to adapt to the NFL game quickly. So I think he'll be an instant impact to the Panthers' offense. I think Leonard Fournette needs more offensive line help, and Jacksonville to be special as he could be. But I would not be surprised at all if Leonard Fournette kind of continues his resurgence of running back value in the NFL.
Let's stick with running back for a little bit, because the Packers traded down last night. They have the first pick tonight in the second round. What are the chances that they're eyeing Dalvin Cook with that selection?
Yeah, I think it's really possible. And both Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon kind of fit their profile, what they want running back. And, you know, Ted Thompson is not afraid to take running backs early if they're a good fit. He's taken Eddie Lacy in round one in the past. And I think it'll be one of those two guys that they stay put between Joe Mixon and Dalvin Cook. And both those guys have off-field issues. Certainly Joe Mixon's a well-known, and Dalvin Cook's maybe not as well-known, but an issue for teams and a big reason why he fell on draft day. And I spoke to one scout, not with the Packers, who said, hey, we love Dalvin Cook, but we're not sure he's mature enough to develop in the NFL and be a professional to reach his second contract. So I think both those guys have really major off-field concerns. But, you know, in Green Bay, the media is much friendlier than it would be in Tampa Bay or the New York Giants. I think Green Bay media is a perfect place for those guys to go and kind of hide out for a little bit and hopefully not only get some of the heat off them, but the PR hit they'll take by taking, especially Mixon or either one of those guys. But more importantly, when you're in Green Bay, you're in a smaller market, you're isolated, you grow up quickly, and you become mature a lot faster than you could in the major cities. So I think it's beneficial to both those guys, either one of those guys, to be a Green Bay Packer.
Speaking of off-the-field issues, Gerrion Conley out of Ohio State was selected by the Oakland Raiders at number 24. Was that a little bit of a surprise for you, especially with the rape allegations that were made against him earlier this month?
Yeah, it was. And a buddy of mine, Matt Miller, over at Bleacher Report, reported day of the draft. He said, hey, Gerrion Conley will go round one. And the Raiders are one of the teams I know liked him a lot. Didn't think he'd obviously be there before his allegations, but a handful of teams really like Conley and will consider taking him in round two if he was there. I think Conley never was going to get out of the second round of the draft. I'm sorry, second or third round of the draft, just because of the information teams had in that short time period and preponderance of the evidence being that he likely was innocent. Now, it's important, and I saw a stat earlier today, that you know very few, less than 10% of rape allegations are falsified, and polygraph tests, which Kerryon Conley took, are only about 70% accurate. So I think it's still clear that why the evidence seems, and the narrative right now is that Conley likely didn't do it. It's a major risk because we don't know what happened yet. The Raiders don't know what happened yet. More importantly, the police don't know what happened yet. So I think taking a guy with that kind of background in round one is a very big risk. And if this doesn't work out and he did do something wrong, first off, hopefully everyone gets justice. But more for the Raiders' perspective, I think it's one of the biggest draft mistakes, you know, in recent history. And that's why Leon Collins fell out of the draft 2 years ago, because teams didn't want to risk that. And the Raiders taking a big risk right now. If he pays off, he's a fantastic addition, but it was certainly a risk that most teams didn't expect until the night of.
Talking NFL draft with Eric Galco, second round, getting ready to get underway at the top of the hour. Give me a player or two that you think could be a real second round steal today for a franchise.
Yeah, a handful of guys. Cam Robinson of Alabama, for many teams, is a top offensive tackle on their board, and it's a weak class, one of the weakest historically in terms of first round picks we've ever seen. But I think he goes early today. I think he's a tremendous value. We mentioned Cook and Joe Mixon. You know, off the field stuff aside, they're tremendously talented. The guy I'm fascinated to see where he ends up is Tyus Bowser of Houston. He's one of my favorites, the pass rusher out of Houston, for much of the draft process, because he's a 4-3 outside linebacker, plays strong and weak side. But he was on pace to be the FBS sack leader a year ago, if not for a freak accident off the field to his orbital bone. So he's a tremendous pass rusher who can play a 4-3 stand-up linebacker, can drop back in coverage. Really a special player that a lot of teams want to get their hands on. He may go mid-second round today, but I think the spot he lands in will be decisive. And I think in 5 years, we're looking back, he might be the second or third best pass rusher from this draft class.
Eric, our poll question yesterday was how many quarterbacks were going to go in the first round. Ultimately, three quarterbacks go. DeShone Kizer of Notre Dame was another possibility in the first round. He is still left on the board. He made some comments last week that kind of got a lot of people's attention about him basically being the perfect balance of Tom Brady and Cam Newton. Do you think those comments raised some questions about his maturity, or were those questions already there?
Yeah, those questions were already there, and less about maturity and more about kind of his mental makeup. And then speaking with teams, really since the NFL Combine, that was their concern. And I don't think Kyler was ever going to be a first-round pick. I would have been surprised. So really, after the Bears moved up from Mitch Trubisky and got their quarterback, I think he was their fallback plan. And once that happened, Kyler was not going to be a first-round pick. I don't know how long he'll wait tonight. There's a chance he could wait longer than people expect. I reported before that his kind of the perception about him throughout the league is not in the same way, but very similar to Christian Hackenberg a year ago, a guy who was thought of coming into the year as a top five overall pick, struggled during his final year in college, and then declared early. And I think teams were kind of worried about what this guy might be. And a lot for Kizer is, hey, we like Kizer. We know he's talented. We know the tools to work with, but he's not for us. That's kind of feeling you get from a lot of teams. So we'll see how long he lasts today. The Cardinals need a quarterback and want a quarterback. The Buffalo Bills were interested in Mr. Trubisky. They didn't get him. So I think a lot of teams want a quarterback. We'll see how long he lasts tonight.
Desmond King appears to be the highest projected Hawkeye to go off the draft board this year. Lots of people have him going in the third round. Do you think it's a safe bet that he hears his name called at some point tonight?
I do. It's a really strong cornerback and safety class. Desmond King is great at either one of those positions for every team. And I'm not sure exactly how he's going to stack up for those teams at the cornerback and safety position. It's a loaded class at both of those, and I think a lot of safeties and corners went early in round one and late in round one. I think that there's a need there for teams that didn't get one of those guys in round one. But I think overall most teams feel a cornerback in cover two scheme. The Minnesota Vikings are a team that jumps out as a great fit for him, that I think can be an option for round three. They want to add a cornerback in this draft. But I think looking for teams that want physical corners, want press corners, and want guys who can play multiple spots, the Raiders in round three, Lindley cornerback in round one, and the Vikings in round three, I think, are two options. But I think there's a strong chance he's taken before the end of day three tonight.
So you kind of lead me right to my next question. There have been questions about what position he would play in the NFL, whether that's corner, nickel corner, or safety. If you're choosing, if you're a general manager, where do you think he kind of ends up in the NFL when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think for a team that runs a lot of cover two. He's a great fit. And teams more and more are running these cover two defenses but ask their corners to run a little bit further downfield. In certain situations, almost cover three looks or man looks. I think he's perfect at that. I think keeping him in a short area, letting him be physical, letting him work on the boundary and kind of erase receivers there, not forcing him to track receivers down the field or work cross field too often. That's where he's best at. And he's a tremendous tackler as a run defender. That Michigan game this year really showed that. And I think he has a lot of value as a starter. That being said, for teams that don't run kind of those defenses, more cover three or man coverage defenses, I think the nickel cornerback spot is great. And I think that's probably where he's best at immediately because he can really absorb these short area receivers really well before going across field. But some teams grade him as a safety, and that's kind of a waste of his skill set and a waste of his talent. I think he's better at a cornerback position. But I think we'll know pretty quickly when the team drafts him if he's going to be a cornerback or a safety.
Eric, one more before we let you go. Kind of the surprise for me last night was Jonathan Allen dropping all the way to 17. What were some of the reasons that he fell, and were you surprised at all?
I was. I spoke with teams earlier that day, and the feeling was he could go as high as 7th overall to the San Diego Chargers. The Bengals at 9 were really interested in taking him as well, and a lot of teams in the middle of round 1 liked him a lot too. The Redskins had cleared him medically, and that was always going to be his floor. And they were certainly ecstatic when he was there at pick 17 to take him because he's a guy they coveted in the draft process as one of their highest graded players. But, you know, the shoulder arthritis, the shoulder concerns are there. And I think teams, especially in round 1, we mentioned Conley about the risk of that is, but, you know, taking a guy in round 1 as a GM or a head coach, whoever vouches for that pick, your job is on the line if that guy fails. And I think that's why teams are so hesitant to take injury guys or character guys in round 1 because if that guy fails, you're missing your best opportunity to add a top-end player to your team, not only because he's talented, but because the contract's great, because of the culture-changing pick. I think for all those reasons, teams were passing on John Allen in favor of healthier guys or guys with more upside than just shoulder injuries. But I think long-term, those Alabama guys always have injury question marks coming into the draft, but they always seem to stay healthy enough to last for the second contract. And the Redskins got to steal one of the best picks of the draft.
Always great picking your brain, Eric. We appreciate it, and we'll let you get back to your draft coverage. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, and have a good one.
Eric Galco, lead draft analyst for the Sporting News. You can check him out on Twitter, at Optimum Scouting, and the Packers right now still holding that first pick in the second round, which is about 40 minutes away from getting underway. This is interesting, though. The NFL Network and Ian Rappaport reporting that a name that Green Bay may be interested in with that selection, Notre Dame quarterback Deshaun Kizer.
The name I just brought up, that would be interesting.
I'll tell you what, Jeff Downing, you make sure that 8-second delay is on back at the studio, because if the Packers use this pick to draft a backup quarterback, I may use some foul language on the air.
It's so difficult
why
for me to...
Why would you do that?
Especially for Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packers, who rely so heavily on the draft to replenish this team because they do next to nothing.
They need a running back. They need a ton of defensive help. And they're being linked to who would be a backup quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere anytime soon.
With the amount of secondary talent that's still out there, a name to keep an eye on if I'm drafting for the Green Bay Packers, Kevin King out of Washington, tall, rangy cornerback / safety. That's who I would take if I'm the Green Bay Packers. But, yeah, Deshaun Kizer is with all the needs that they have and as little as they do in free agency, that it would be a little bit of a head scratcher.
Kevin King for a while projected to be a first-round draft pick there for the taking in the second round. Couple running backs tonight. I mentioned Dalvin Cook of Florida State. Alvin Kamara out of Tennessee. I've seen some mock drafts or some projections that have him perhaps headed to the Minnesota Vikings at 48. That would be a very interesting selection there to go along with Latavius Murray in the backfield. Good quality names out there right now. By the way, the Sporting News has Deshaun Kizer mocked out to Buffalo at 44 right now, and they've got Green Bay with a running back, but not Dalvin Cook. They've got Joe Mixon projected with the number 33 pick. Only Ted Thompson and the Packers know exactly what's going on, and we found out last night that sometimes general managers keep their cards extremely close to their vest. John Fox reportedly had no idea that the Bears were planning to draft Mitchell Trubisky.
What?
John Fox did not find out about this until shortly before the draft. Ryan Pace really didn't tell anybody. He didn't want any leaks, and reportedly they had made the decision weeks ago that they were going with Mitchell Trubisky with that pick. And then once rumors came out that there were teams interested in trading up, they made the move ultimately with San Francisco. One of those teams, by the way, sounds like the Kansas City Chiefs. They originally wanted Mitch Trubisky, or Mitchell, if you get really upset. He told Chicago media he doesn't care what anybody calls
him.
Okay,
so we can call him Mitch.
You can call him whatever you want, according to him. But the Chiefs missed out on Trubisky. They wind up trading up and grabbing Patrick Mahomes the second, a move that I know didn't sit well with too many Chiefs fans, at least the ones that we work with in the building. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, and it's the number that you need to call right now to be caller number 6 in order to win our final $30 La Cantina gift card for the week. 366-1600. If you're caller number 6 right now to that number, you're going to win $30. You can use it at any of the three locations, the Lincoln View Square store in Marion, downtown Cedar Rapids right across from the U.S. Cellular Center, or the newest location for La Cantina. That's in the Fountains off Edgewood Road. 319-366-1600. We'll find out who our winner is when we return after this.
Daryl Bewley here with Toyota of Iowa City. We know there are so many messages out there from car dealerships. Seems like everyone is claiming they have the crazy best deals and that they are the trusted dealer. The fact is, no one can offer you any better overall deal than we can here at Toyota of Iowa City. And we believe no one offers an easier and more comfortable buying experience than we do. Also, financing is really easy on the budget right now. Camry has 0% financing available for 6 full years, plus $1,000. Or you can get an extra $2,500 if you're not financing. RAV4 has 0% for 5 full years, or an extra $2,000. These payments are as low as $219 a month with no money down on certain models. We have the largest inventory we've ever carried. So if you care about a comfortable and easy buying experience and you want to make sure you get the best overall deal, take the time and come see us at Toyota of Iowa City.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky and nestles right next to the pin. That's what keeps us all coming back. Hey folks, Dave Austed here. Hardly any of us are going to make the pro tour, but we always have that itch to play because of that one shot. At Austed's Golf, we love the game as much as you do. Golf Digest just selected Austed's Golf one of the top fitters in the nation. Find out why. Go online at Austeds.com or visit your local Austed's to schedule your personal club fitting. Your one shot is waiting. Play better, have fun, and shop Austed's.
Es tan fácil como un pay de manzana. Tan fácil como caer de un árbol. Es tan fácil como la tabla del uno.
Oh.
Así es el reembolso con poder de la cuenta de cheques con una tarifa de poder de la ATM de Midwest One Bank. 9 de 10 nuevos usuarios usan el poder de cuentas de cheques. Ellos te lo recomiendan porque es fácil para calificar y usar. No uses una cuenta de cheques gratis cuando puedes usar el poder de cheques con reembolso con Midwest One. Abre tu cuenta hoy en Midwest One o en MidwestOne.com. Restricciones aplican. Máximo de reembolso por $15 por el uso de la ATM. Member FDIC.
Congratulations going out to Ryan in West Liberty, the winner of our third and final, or fifth and final, La Cantina gift card, a $30 gift card that he can use at any of the three locations. Coming up for you next week, not only are we giving away $100 a day here on KGYM during local programming, but on our show, we've got a very nice golf package that we're going to be giving you a chance to win each day with
on
us
our show.
Monday through Friday. On our show,
I
know.
It
doesn't necessarily seem like it would be a fit with us, but the gym class has some great prizes as well. Check out the website, kgymradio.com. You can catch up on podcasts from earlier in the week. You can vote in our poll question, kgymradio.com. Time now for another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. They're still on tap, by the way, tonight at Duane Banks Field. The Hawkeyes hoping to get that game in against Penn State. They did rearrange the schedule again. The two teams set to play just a single game tonight at 6 o'clock rather than a doubleheader. Games 2 and 3 will be played Saturday and Sunday. Start times of 2 o'clock and 11 a.m., however, are fluid due to the weather situation. Iowa's Desmond King should expect to hear his name called during the second day of the NFL draft tonight. The 2015 Jim Thorpe Award winner, projected by most draft experts to be a third-round pick in the draft. KG Wyam will join ESPN's coverage of the second round tonight at 7 o'clock at the conclusion of local programming. Connor McCaffrey has announced that he'll be walking on at Iowa next season to play both basketball and baseball. The son of Iowa men's basketball coach Fran McCaffrey announced his intentions on Twitter this morning. McCaffrey, who helped lead Iowa City West to a 4A state basketball title, will redshirt during his first year on the basketball team. He averaged 16.9 points a game last year for the Trojans. Then on the diamond, he hit 407, leading the team in home runs his junior season. And Aaron Whitefield hit a home run in the 12th inning last night at Dozier Park as the Cedar Rapids Colonels beat the Peoria Chiefs 5-3 in the opener between those two teams. They meet again tonight at 6:30 in Game 2 of a four-game series. We promised you an update from the Jane Meyer trial in Des Moines, and it was a star-studded witness list today. Kirk Ferentz, his son Brian, the team's new offensive coordinator, took the stand today. But the guy who made perhaps the biggest splash,
and stole the show.
Interesting to see how this plays out, but Iowa wrestling coach Tom Brands did not mince any words today during his testimony at the Jane Meyer trial. I'm going to read just some excerpts of our friend Mark Emmert, who covers the trial for the Des Moines Register. Tom Brands, taking this stand today, said that he was particularly upset about the Carver Hawkeye renovations that took place in 2010. And he said, quote, "It was a mess because Jane Meyer inserted herself as an expert." Also, another quote, "It was a one-way street. It was zero follow-up." Brands apparently had issues with some of the things like the size of the locker room, size of the facility, showers, saunas, etc. And then, this is a great quote. This is Tom Brands in a nutshell. "Things that to me were cute, and they were not functional." If you can imagine Tom Brands, it really is a shame that they're not allowing cameras inside the courtroom for this. And then he was asked, I want to make sure that I get this right. Meyer's attorney asked Brands if he would describe Meyer as the, quote, "consummate professional." "Just the opposite," Brands replied. So to say that things didn't go very well for Jane Meyer's side at this trial, if you're just joining us, this is week number 2, correct, for the trial in Des Moines. Jane Meyer, the former number 2 at the athletic department in Iowa City, suing for sex and gender discrimination. Kirk Ferentz essentially didn't say very good things about Jane Meyer either today. He was a little bit more subtle. Her attorney said some of these things, these interactions, weren't very positive. "Can you recall a specific positive interaction with her?" And Kirk Ferentz said a specific one, no, not really.
I think that's the point right there that I take away from it is the
two different approaches. They both got the same point home.
Exactly. The university has these coaches coming out and defending them, and Jane Meyer, in defense of trying to prove that she did good work at Iowa, has come up with a couple of reviews and a couple of notes, I think, were presented from Tom Brands and from Kirk Ferentz, saying that thanking her for what she did. But we still really haven't had any witnesses as far as people who used to work within the athletic department come out as one of her witnesses. So I find that a little bit interesting.
Mount Mercy baseball coach Jack Dom is here with us at the Coach's Corner tonight. They were unfortunately rained out. That's good news for us, though, because it means we can have our weekly segment Touching All Bases with Jack coming up in just a little bit. Love It or Leave It is on the way in hour number 3 as well. And, of course, we will get you updates from Philadelphia as round 2 of the NFL draft is about 25 minutes away from getting underway. Right now, Green Bay still holding on to the first pick in round 2. They acquired that from the Cleveland Browns last night. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show live from the Coach's Corner along with Alex Kuhn and Kyle Mann. You've still got time to stop in here and join us. Jack Dom joins us next.
All right, guys, step up your game and save at GNC. Make sure you're up to every test. Testosterone levels impact nearly every part of men's lives, and T levels decline as men age. Testosterone support begins here. Find new and exclusive testosterone products you can only get at GNC and innovations from top brands like Nugenix, Ultimate Testosterone, and Cellucor P6 Extreme. We're talking enhanced drive and increased vitality. With GNC, you don't have to wait to maximize your potential. Sale ends May 3rd. Change begins here. Hashtag one new GNC.
An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts.
We do this all the time in sports, right? We're going to look back and laugh at the way we talked about LeBron James. We are going to go back. History, LeBron James and history are going to prove to us, man, we were bleep holes. Like, just what we were saying about that guy before he won titles. We did it to Michael Jordan, man. Like, see, I'm actually old enough to remember how you treated Michael Jordan when he was on the way to the titles, telling me all the different ways that he couldn't win a title because he was merely selfish. Now, Michael Jordan was more benign, but LeBron's pretty benign. LeBron just recently has taken up causes. That wasn't something he was doing on the way to the hatred. That decision probably strengthened him. All of that stuff probably created a shell for him of armor that made him feel like he can now develop an adult voice that he's willing to share with us.
Napa Know How. Tooling around the yard on a riding mower isn't just yard time. That's listen to the game time, enjoy the great outdoors time, or maybe just think about absolutely nothing time. Unless you've got a dead battery, that's no fun time. So head to Napa, where lawn and garden batteries are as low as $21.99 with exchange. That's $21.99, just in time for mowing time. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores. Offer expires 4/30/17.
During Lowe's Ready to Restock event, pro customers should get ready to save with up to 20% on GAF shingles every day when they buy in bulk, and up to 20% on select Kobalt Mechanics tools through April 30th. Plus, from April 19th through May 30th, pros can trade in their old cordless tools in-store and get 24% off new Kobalt 24-volt brushless cordless power tools. Limit one per customer. Restrictions apply. See store for details. Shingle offer applies to contractor packs. Products vary by store. U.S. only.
It's easy. That's what we all want to hear when it's time to work on the car. Like the AutoZone Rewards program. Spending $20 five times earns you $20 towards the next job. Earning savings couldn't be easier. No user manual required or online tutorial needed. And you won't have to call that know-it-all uncle for advice either. Just spend $20 five times and earn a $20 reward. Sign up for free at AutoZone.com/rewards or in store. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Stu Gotts here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red Solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great recipes at CanadianMist.com. Canadian Mist whiskey. Simply together, drink responsibly. Canadian Mist blended Canadian whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Brown Foreman, Louisville, Kentucky.
Get that spring flooring project done with incredible deals from Lumber Liquidators. This week, get the best selection of Woodlook waterproof flooring up to 24% off. All water-resistant Dream Home Ultra X2O laminate is 11 to 13% off. And get 10% off pre-finished engineered hardwood and engineered bamboo. They're great for every environment and every level of your home. More deals from 69 cents plus special financing. Get the perfect floor with deals from Lumber Liquidators today.
It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn back at the Coach's Corner for another KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Happy hour still going until 7 o'clock tonight. Stop on in. $2.50 domestic bottles, $2 domestic pints. Morgan behind the bar would be happy to pour you any of those beverages, or you can pick something else off the menu. Why not? We're going to be here, as we said, until 7 o'clock tonight. Just handed out our first round of prizes. They include our brand new KGYM golf balls. Looking forward to losing some of them on various golf courses across eastern Iowa this summer. A big thank you to our guests that have joined us already on the program today. Adi Joseph of USA Today and Eric Galco from the Sporting News breaking down the NFL draft. We're going to take you to Philadelphia tonight at 7 o'clock, joining In Progress, round two of the draft. They are getting ready to get underway in about 20 minutes with Green Bay set to go on the clock. The Packers have an interesting choice and probably getting a lot of phone calls right now if you're Ted Thompson from teams looking to move up. Always an interesting position to be in on day two of the draft because you have several names, projected first rounders who fall out of the first round for whatever reason, and an enviable position to be in. Let's put it that way. Jack, I have been doing you a favor all week long by not telling people that I'm involved with your baseball dinner on Sunday night. Hopefully that doesn't dissuade anybody from coming out, but Jack Dom joining us for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases, and one more time, giving him a 48-hour warning, I guess, here
there you go.
About the Mount Mercy baseball dinner that's coming up Sunday night at Vito's on 42nd Street in Cedar Rapids.
Well, we've had a great response. It's going to be a great turnout. We're looking forward to it. We're going to get a chance to honor our seniors. It's a little bit different than doing it at the beginning of the year. The leadoff dinner is typically, or my banquet's usually at the beginning, but we're doing it at the end of the year to honor our seniors. But you have a chance. Starts at 6:30 at Vito's. It's $25 per person. We'll have some great silent and live auction items with Chris Bryant and Rizzo autographed jerseys, Jake Arrieta tickets. We got a great one with actually Sean's donating Cubs Cardinals tickets and a couple hotel rooms right across the street in an all-inclusive tickets to the game. So that should be fun. You should try to get in on that one, by the way, Todd. Have some fun. We got Yankees tickets from Jim Hendry anywhere that the Yankees play. Also, four tickets to the BMW Golf Classic on Saturday or Sunday, the suite on the 17th hole. So we got some great items, and we really look forward to it.
Do you hear that, Scott Unash, if you're back at the studio listening? Some BMW tickets for the 17th green?
Yeah, 17th green. It's a short par 4 where they can actually drive the green.
Oh, you don't need to tell Scott that. He knows the exact course. He is Rain Man of golf. Seriously, ask him about any golf course on tour. He can tell you the par for virtually any hole. It's one of the least amazing things I've ever seen anybody do.
I've been fortunate enough to play Conway Farms a couple times. So a great supporter at the University of Iowa, lives there, and I was able to go there and play a couple rounds of golf with them. Mark Jennings always kind of brought me along. Mark always took care of me in that way. I greatly appreciate it. So it's always fun watching that tournament. I can tell you this much: you can drive the green. The PGA guys can drive the green. We can't drive the green, even though we tee off way before them. So.
Let's go ahead and get started. A big weekend series with the Cubs and the Red Sox. We've actually got tomorrow's game here on KGYM. Theo Epstein back in Boston. He was not with them, I believe it was 2014, the last time that they went back, because his son was being born. So this will be his first time, and they have greeted him like a rock star there, and why not? But your thoughts so far on the Cubs as they head into this series with the Red Sox this weekend?
You know, it's one of those the Cubs are getting by. They're not playing great baseball. They're a lot sloppier than they've been in the past probably. And, I still think their best baseball is ahead of them. The good thing is they're winning enough games right now. But there's teams behind them that are starting to play pretty good. And the Cubs got to start playing a little bit better. But understand, when you got a power-hitting team, the offense that they have, they're a team that's going to start swinging the bats better in May. April's always tough in Wrigley Field. But when you get to May, June, when that wind's blowing out, I really think that offense is going to really pick up and be able to carry them. I think big question, how's Lackey going to do? And then also that bullpen, as we talked about last week, that would be a big question mark.
One of the biggest surprises or most pleasant surprises for the Cubs this season has been Jason Hayward. Have you noticed anything different from his swing or his approach at the plate, and can he keep this up?
That's a great question. It's never been a pretty swing. The biggest thing is hitting. Mechanics are important, but the bottom line is having a belief and feeling good and a confidence level. He put a lot of time and effort in, and it was important for him this past week where he hit a couple home runs, where he was able to get some extension. You're a big guy, and his biggest thing you see was cutting off his swing. If he hit a ball hard last year and even part of the time this year, it was going to be a foul ball. As I will get on my text messages, Sean will always, I'll get a 4-3, and I know exactly what it means when Jason Hayward was up and it was a ground ball to second base. But he's doing a better job. He's feeling better. you know what? You're not going to be a great hitter if you're not a confident hitter. Jason Hayward's never going to be a great hitter, but if he can become a 275 hitter for the Cubs and play the defense he can and drive in some runs, that'll be a very positive situation because he brings so many other positives to the team. So it's definitely a positive step. I don't anticipate him being a 300 hitter. If he could get to 20 home runs, that would be a huge, huge bonus for the Cubs.
My high school coach would tell you I was the most confident hitter he's ever met in his life because I was confident I knew exactly what the outcome of most of my at-bats was going to be. Jack Dom joining us here for Touching All Bases on a Friday at the Coach's Corner in Iowa City. Kyle Hendricks looks like he's getting back on track as well, and that's always something that you've got to worry about with a guy who's not a flamethrower. And last year he was able to locate and hit his spots. This year a little rocky out of the gate, but boy, that last start looked good.
You know what? It was interesting. I don't know if you heard the conversation he talked about after his start. He talked about all of a sudden it was one fastball that he threw and something clicked. And he didn't even know what it was. And that's the one thing that people don't understand is if it's pitching, if it's hitting, so much of it's feel. And all of a sudden something just clicked for him. And he felt a lot better, was a lot more confident with locating his fastball, getting some run on his fastball. And especially for him, one of the things is when you're not a power guy, when you're not a power pitcher, you know, you've got to be almost perfect. Otherwise, you're going to get hit around. Your mistakes are going to get hit. And so for him to be able to get that command back and the trust in throwing his fastball and breaking ball at any time is very, very important. And you know what? It's big because he was struggling a little bit. But I anticipate he's going to be a very, very solid starter for the Cubs. And he needs that sinker going. He needs that be able to throw that fastball at the hip of the left-hand hitters and have it come back like Maddox did. He needs that pitch with sink because we just talked about their offense, how the wind's going to start blowing out and become very offensive. Wrigley Field will become a very offensive place. If he didn't get that command back, that sinker going again, he would have been in some trouble at Wrigley Field.
So we're at the home of the Cardinals, so it's time for the token Cardinals question. The bullpen has been a little bit of a struggle, but Trevor Rosenthal has come back. He had a miserable season last year. Looks pretty good. Is he a guy that's ready to assume a decent role at the back end of that bullpen again?
I tell you what, last night he looked pretty good. You know, I saw about four or five pitches. Again, Sean texted me. I get these updates every once in a while when something's going on.
You too, huh?
Yeah, turn on channel 731. So, and I was watching. I was watching the draft. I was trying to figure out what my Bears did. By the way, I was a little.
You find out?
No, I have no idea. I knew that what they did, but I was trying to figure out why they did
it. The rumor is that there were some teams that were trying to get that number two pick to draft Trubisky.
You know, the thing is I think the Bears did such a good job of not showing their hand that they probably could have got away without having to trade back one spot and lose all those guys. When you got as far to go, that's a little disappointing. But anyways, getting back to the Cardinals, you know, Rosen thought he was throwing cheddar yesterday. He looks like he's in better shape. He looked like a different guy. And, again, his presence on the mound was different. I only saw four or five pitches, but, man, he looked different out there. He was throwing a good hard slider, and that fastball had great life. And it was 101. I think he might have touched 102 or 103. And when you don't throw a pitch below 100 miles per hour, ask the Cubs fans. We saw what Chapman was able to do last year. That makes a big difference. And if he can come back, what it's able to do is slot everybody else in the bullpen in a better position where they can be a little bit more successful. So he's going to be a big key for him. And he's a veteran that's been there before. So that would be a huge, huge positive for the Cardinals. And the Cardinals aren't playing bad baseball right now. You know, I had a conversation with Scott Servais. You know, he talked about how they went 2-8. The Cardinals had their bad stretch. You're only if you want to really make a run at a championship, you can only have two bad stretches throughout the year. Now the Cardinals have had theirs, the Mariners have had theirs, a couple other teams have had theirs. You got to stay away from that if you want to win the division. But the Cardinals are playing much better baseball right now.
Unfortunately for the Mariners, they had their stretch when they had Felix Hernandez. Sounds like he's going to miss 3 to 4 weeks, which isn't going to make life very easy for Scott Servais moving forward. You talk about guys like Noah Syndergaard who throw 100 miles an hour, and not all that long ago, that was relatively rare. And you're starting to see more and more guys. The White Sox have one of them in the minors in Michael Kopech. The Mariners have a guy in Thiago Vieira who in the minors who touches 100, 102. This can't just be better training. What is it where we're seeing this spike in velocity all of a sudden?
Well, some guys are just made, you know, they're just coming in and being relief pitchers where they're throwing one inning at a time. A lot of it is training. I mean, you just look at the size of these kids nowadays coming out, and they're 6'5", 6'6", and how they're put together and their athleticism and everything that they've been doing is the parents are putting them in training when they're in fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And so they're just physically stronger athletes right now and then a lot more sports-specific athletes. So you're seeing more and more arm injuries because kids are throwing that hard. And they've played more baseball. You know, and again, that's why I still go back. I still like the three-sport athlete, the two-sport athlete, because you only have so many bullets in your arm. And when you have that much force on your arm, it's going to break down at some point. Now, the good thing for a lot of these guys is, you know, the Tommy John surgery has become such a good surgery, you know, that all of a sudden, you know, guys are bouncing back. But what you're finding out is the old thing about Tommy John surgery was guys come back stronger and throwing harder. What people have figured out is it's because they trained their arm better and got their arm stronger. So what's going on now is guys are doing the same rehab and the same arm strength building. They call it the driveline program where they're throwing heavy balls, lighter balls, and doing a full body workout. And that's why guys are just picking up velocity, and it's kind of scary, and they're being used for short amount of times.
Heading back to Major League Baseball, a couple of teams in the American League off to a really slow start. And my question for you is, for Toronto and Kansas City, is this a slow start or is this a sign of kind of a window closing on what was a good couple of years?
I think for Kansas City, it's more of the window closing, you know, because I think what you're going to see them is a little bit of a fire sale there. You know, in the next month or so, if they don't start playing a little bit better. I think this was the year that they're going to try to make one more run at it. For Toronto, it's going to be interesting. They're just going to have to start playing some better baseball. Being in the American League East, so that's such a tough division. Don't be surprised if you see them start making some moves also. I did see, I think, Matt Dermody got called up today, so not that that's going to help him. I know Matt had a tough go of it last time he came up, but it's always nice to see one of our former Hawkeyes and one of my former players get called up. But you know what? It's going to be tough for those guys having that long, being that far behind, to be able to get back in the race. So what you'll see is, will they do a fire sale or will they just get rid of a couple people? I think they're both in a lot of trouble right now.
Jack, we appreciate it as always. One last time, Sunday, about 6:30-ish.
6:30 at Vito's, and you can pay at the door, $25 per person. Kids, 8th grade and younger, come in free and they get hot dogs. It's going to be a great evening. I'm looking forward to getting you there. It will be fun. I do also.
Well, what about Tyler?
I haven't talked to Tyler.
Okay.
He says he's coming back, but I have not heard
now,
from him.
Now, kids get hot dogs. What do we get? What's on tap for adults?
They get free pop, but you can buy beer and.
Yeah, but I'm talking about food.
Oh, it's cheeseburgers. So it's regular ballpark food. So we're looking forward to that, just like it was previously. And more importantly, it's a donation to Mount Mercy Baseball, supporting our seniors and helping us. And we've got some great auction items.
Which I heard, and I was not on the Lunchbox Heroes stop on Wednesday, but I heard that you got Scott and Mark and Alex a little bit of a tour of some of the new facilities over there.
Yeah, the weather wasn't very good, unfortunately, but I did show them our warehouse, which is where they went in. I think they're surprised that that's where our baseball indoor facility was at, but it works out great for us. It's an old warehouse, kind of like working out with Rocky, you know, back in the day. But the facility that we have is going to be top-notch, and I think they had an opportunity to see it, and I can't wait. You know, days like today, we sat out and for about 2.5 hours trying to get these games in for us today, and we weren't able to. And, you know, the turf will allow us to get more games in, so we're looking forward to it. And one other thing, I did hear that it's official that Connor McCaffrey is going to be going to Iowa.
Yeah, walking on to both the baseball and basketball programs.
What a huge get for Rick Heller. I think Connor McCaffrey has has huge upside. I'm fortunate enough to work with them on a regular basis and know Fran and Margaret very well. In fact, they donated, you know, they're helping us with our fundraiser. But I think, you know, it's one of those for Connor to be redshirting in basketball where he'll be able to continue to play and get better, but to really focus on baseball that first year. What a huge get for Rick Heller. He just got maybe probably the top pro prospect and the top player in the state of Iowa to come in as a walk-on. That doesn't happen very often at places like the University of Iowa. So congratulations to Connor. I think a lot of people knew he was coming. However, he had to sort through some things, but to be able to focus on baseball that first year is a huge statement.
Yeah, we knew he was coming. We knew what the scholarship situation was like for the basketball team. They only had two available.
Yeah.
They handed them both out to the big men in Nungy and Garza, and that's where the question marks came. But 407 last year, led Charlie Stumpf's team in home runs. Yeah. A very good, tremendous player there, and it'll be fascinating to see. Maybe he gets drafted this year.
You know what? He could be a draft. I think the biggest thing is the hardest thing is for high school kids, is especially somebody like Connor, whose dad's a basketball coach at a Big Ten institution, and he's already committed to go play baseball and basketball there. You know, it's going to take a lot of money to buy somebody in that situation out of their college career, He might get drafted, but I think it would be more in the 20th-30th round, unless he really goes off early on in the summertime. Then someone might take a flyer on him and try to buy him out of his college career. But I think he's pretty set on going to Iowa right now, which would be a good deal for him.
All right, Jack. We'll see you Sunday at Vito's on 42nd. Actually,
you can join us.
I will be there.
We'll see
Perfect.
You at about 7:05 over Perfect. At the VIP table I see you at Vito's.
We have some things to discuss.
Jack Dom joining us for his weekly segment, Touching All Bases. We're going to step aside and come back to Coach's Corner in Iowa City. We'll give you an update on whether or not Iowa and Penn State will be playing tonight at Duane Banks Field after this.
Attention motorsports fans. Save big at the Yamaha Get Out and Ride sales event at Sun and Fun Motorsports with rock-bottom financing. Huge customer cash plus more on Yamaha motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides. Like the Superbike Champion R1 and Super Sport Champ R6, new for 2017. Save on Yamaha FZ Extreme Naked Sport Bikes and FJ Super Sport Tourers. Even Yamaha Star Cruisers and Retro Sport Heritage models are on sale. Into off-road? Score a great deal on the back-to-back Motocross Champ YZ250F or YZ450F. Prefer four wheels? Upgrade to a YFZ450R, Raptor 700R, or adrenaline-pumping YXZ1000R sports side-by-side. And if you love the outdoors, save on a real-world Tough Grizzly or Kodiak 700 ATV, Viking, or Wolverine side-by-side. Visit YamahaMotorsports.com for details, then visit Sun & Fun Motorsports today for huge get-out-and-ride savings. Come to the open house at Sun & Fun Motorsports on Escort Lane in Iowa City tomorrow from 9 to 3. Get special savings during their Red Balloon Sale and take a demo ride, weather permitting. Offers good through 6/30/17 on purchases of select Yamaha motorcycles, ATVs, and side-by-sides. See dealer for details.
Connecting with your family and friends is what La Cantina is all about. And Friday, May 5th, connect on one of the most festive days of the year, Cinco de Mayo. La Cantina's Cinco de Mayo specials will make you very happy. All day long, get tangy, tasty margaritas or your favorite drafts, two for $5. All appetizers are just $5 too. Get festive at all three La Cantina locations on Cinco de Mayo, in the Fountains on Edgewood Road, in Marion, and in downtown Cedar Rapids.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
April showers bring May dollars. KGYM is giving you a chance to win cash each day in May with $100 a day in the month of May. Listen each day to Mike and Mike in the Morning for a phrase from the show. Then later on the gym class in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, we'll play that morning's phrase. And caller number 6 will win $100. $100 a day in the month of May. Sponsored by Toyota of Iowa City. Right here on KGYM.
$100 a day in May. It doesn't get any better than that. But before we can turn the calendar to May, we got to finish up April with hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming to you from Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. It's the KGYM Road Trip, driven by Linder Tire, and we're going to drive ourselves right into the next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Iowa's Desmond King should expect to hear his name called tonight during the second day of the NFL Draft. The 2015 Jim Thorpe Award winner is projected by most draft experts to be a third-round pick this evening. We're going to join ESPN's coverage of the second and third rounds at 7 o'clock tonight at the conclusion of local programming. Desmond King, by the way, expected to throw out the first pitch tonight at Duane Banks Field as Iowa plays host to Penn State. That game was supposed to start at 6 o'clock. It will not start on time. They have not officially postponed that game this evening, but obviously with the weather in Iowa City the way that it is, little chances are they may not play tonight. They've actually got single games on tap tomorrow and Sunday as well. Start times of 2 o'clock and 11 a.m. respectively, but those start times will be fluid due to the weather forecast. Connor McCaffrey has announced that he's going to be walking on at Iowa next season to play both basketball and baseball. The son of Fran McCaffrey announced his intentions on Twitter this morning. He'll actually walk on to the basketball team as a redshirt his freshman year. He averaged 16.9 points a game for the Trojans a year ago. He also hit 407 for West High's baseball team. Colonels a 5-3 winner on the road last night over Peoria. They're back in action tonight at Dozer Park, 6:30, first pitch there. And as we mentioned, Mother Nature not being very kind here in eastern Iowa. The raindrops continue to fall. Hour number three of the program up next.
It's time for breakfast at Burger King.
Remember at Burger King, I got the 3 for 89 cent pancake deal?
Yeah.
I tried to take one.
But they're 89 cents.
Yeah.
You can spare one.
I understand, but you know what I said.
Well, you said respect the stack.
And did you?
No, because I like pancakes.
Respect that stack. Get 3 pancakes for just 89 cents. That's 3 fluffy golden pancakes for 89 cents now at Burger King. Here's another great breakfast deal. 2 croissant sandwiches for just $4. Only at Burger King. Limited time at participating Burger King restaurants.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
He was a 9-time Pro Bowler. He's a Stanford alum, so basically dude knows football, and he's smart. Nice first night as a GM, John Lynch. If I-